for those reasons.
I love you. Thank you. It's so tiring day after day to get up and hear NBC News, these lying newscasters, talking heads, yellow journalism, whatever you want to call that fake news they got over there at NBC with that, what's that name of that woman, Brandi Zajosny.
That was an incredible article. I cannot believe that NBC let that get by. I mean, talk about fake news. It's amazing.
And then you were talking about FAERS, this FAERS,
F-A-E-R-S. Well, first of all, so she said in that article, the American Association of Poison Control Centers reported over 16,000 cases of chlorine dioxide toxicity with 2,500 children, less than 12. I mean, I don't know where she got those data. I just cannot believe that that is true. And she said one thing about FAERS, which really perked up my ears because I know FAERS. I know how to analyze it. And she said specifically, very specifically, a six-year-old child, chlorine dioxide toxicity and liver failure. She mentioned the year, 2017. So what I could do is just download all the data. I easily can do that. Anybody can do that. It's very, very easy to do. You don't even need permission. It's available on the web. Download the entire data set for 2017 and look for that girl. And I will tell you right now, I did not find her. And in fact, what I found was really, really shocking because I looked for chlorine dioxide or Miracle Mineral Supplement. And I found three hits. Three hits on Miracle Mineral Supplement, zero on chlorine dioxide. So I looked at the three hits for the Miracle MMS. And they were all people over 65 years old. They were all suffering from metastatic kidney cancer. And they were taking a cancer drug, a chemotherapy drug, that was labeled as the primary suspect in the symptoms they were getting. So FAERS is a database that collects reactions to drugs, basically. And each event has a list of drugs that they're taking, a list of reactions that they had, you know, and then the date, the age, a few other bits of information. But so these people were taking lots of drugs, and the primary was a chemotherapy agent. And there were other drugs listed that were secondary. And chlorine dioxide, or MMS, was listed as another drug they were taking without consequence. In other words, it wasn't indicated as either primary or secondary in the symptoms that were being observed. So what this says is that there are zero cases where chlorine dioxide was labeled in FAERS as either a primary or a secondary factor in symptoms that were a consequence of drug side effects. Zero. So now when you take that and you look at some other things, in FAERS. FAERS is a huge database just for that one year, 2017. So I looked at a whole bunch of other things. And a couple of things I will mention first are vitamin D. Vitamin D is, lots of things, like 45,000 cases where vitamin D was taken, most of which it had no effect. It was one of those other drugs people are taking. So you have to say they list the drugs, they list the nutritional supplements, they list everything that the person is taking, the vitamins, the minerals. So vitamin D, 45,000 cases where it was one of the things the person was taking, but only 89 cases, but there were 89 cases in which vitamin D was the primary suspect. So vitamin D was what they thought caused the symptoms that these people suffered from, 89. Another case is acetaminophen, Tylenol, right? There were like 81,000 cases where Tylenol was listed as one of the things the person was taking. And of this, there were over 10,000 cases where Tylenol was the primary suspect. Over 10,000 cases where Tylenol was causing the symptoms that were being seen in that event. So those two, vitamin D, Tylenol. Now you can look at drugs that are prescribed for autism. They're approved by the FDA. There's only two, and they're both antipsychotics. And so their names are risperidone and aripiprazole, which is Abilify. People have probably heard of Abilify. Abilify and risperidone are used to treat symptoms of autism, not to cure autism, not to do anything to fix it, just to treat the aggressive behaviors. So for those two, so looking at risperidone, 96,000 cases where risperidone was listed as one of the drugs that the person was taking, almost 23,000 of those where it was the primary suspect in the symptoms. And then risperidone has, so then I said, well, let's look at the specific side effects that you're seeing, specific reactions that you're seeing to risperidone. And I took only one quarter because it's so much data, it's sort of overwhelming. So I took one quarter, quarter four, the last 3 months of 2017, and I gathered all the data on the reactions that the kids, people were having to this drug. And I calculated some numbers on which reactions and how often were they occurring. And one of the most, actually probably the most common reaction was something called gynecomastia, which is that males produce breasts, they grow breasts. And this was caused in 3,216 cases where it was the primary cause of this enlarged breast in men. And then on top of that, there were another 75 where there was like inappropriate production of milk from the breasts. There were 450 cases where it was a primary suspect for weight increase, overweight, abnormal weight gain, basically gaining weight. It's a very good drug for gaining weight. And then it had things like attempted suicide. There were 29 successful suicides. There was coma, seizures, tachycardia, which is an arrhythmia problem, altered state of consciousness, cardiac arrest, acute kidney injury, rhabdomyolysis, which is when you get muscle breakdown into the kidneys that cause kidney disease, psychotic disorder, something called neuroleptic malignant syndrome, which is a specific reaction to this drug that has it's called a life-threatening reaction that can occur in response to these antipsychotic medications. Symptoms include high fever, confusion, rigid muscles, variable blood pressure, sweating, and fast heart rate. And that, you know, that was in 19 cases of where there was a suspected of that. So, I mean, it's just a disaster with respect to
that. There
was
death, I think, also. I think 287 cases of death, I think, in that also. And then there were the risperidol. I think there was 15 comas.
Yes, I have that. There probably were death cases, and I don't have that written down on that one here. I could probably get it on my computer, but I looked at Abilify as well, of course.
Yeah, the document you sent me, I saw 287 deaths from Abilify, which was frightening, and then risperidol or risperidone was 15 comas.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's death on the other one, too. I just didn't happen to write that down. But
but I was so shocked by the fact that so many medical doctors
Of course, suicide. I mean, there's suicide in 29. There were 29 cases of successful suicide with the other one. And Abilify probably, I mean, Abilify has a number. So I did a separate on Abilify, and that's, again, primary suspect for Abilify. I've got this here.
So, Dr. Sen, if I have to ask you the question, if you had your choice, would you give an autistic child Abilify or chlorine dioxide?
I know. I mean, absolutely, there's no question. There's no way I would ever give anyone these two drugs. They're very toxic. Abilify, I had a sort of a list of, I mean, there were 1,000 different symptoms that occurred.
Sure.
At least 15 times. I mean, it's just amazing, the symptoms, but you get death, as you said, seizures, hospitalization, hallucination, pneumonia, depression, somnolence, fatigue. Those are all very high numbers of cases for Abilify where those things occurred. So, I mean, both of these are just incredibly toxic, and they cause, you could get worse and worse over time. You know, you get enormously obese, the males grow breasts. I mean, it really messes up your whole, it causes you to produce prolactin, which is causing all these problems with your, you know, metabolic state. I mean, it is really, these drugs are very, very toxic. And yet, you know, our country thinks they're fine for autism. They're approved to treat autism. Whereas something that's actually reversing autism is like, oh my God, you know, you can't do that. It's so toxic. I mean, it's just completely irrational. The contrast between those two classes of drugs. And chlorine dioxide is actually a natural substance. You know, it's and chlorine and oxygen are both essential for life. Whereas these drugs are these bizarre, you know, contraptions. These are non-natural, never produced by any living organism. Synthetic compounds that are just horrible for the body. And I think it's just ridiculous. I mean, we have potentially a huge breakthrough in helping autistic children recover. And the government ought to be jumping all over it. They should be pouring money into research to figure out how is this thing working and how they can just decide that their goal is to make sure that everyone's afraid that to use it. And therefore, do they want to keep these kids autistic so that they can feed them these drugs for the rest of their lives? I mean, I don't know what is going on with this country. But
it's a great business business model, though.
It
they
is.
They want to cure your clients.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just so... we live in unbelievable times, is what I would say. And I don't know how we can fix it, but we need to soldier on.
I agree.
People like you, you know, you're one of my personal heroes. And thank you for what you do. And I hope you'll be able to continue, at least to help people elsewhere in the world, if not the Americans.
Well, people are looking for the answers. You know, I think also people are looking a little bit beyond, you know, the kind of basics. But what shocked me one time early on when I discovered that it cured, you know, I was also just kind of like trying it out. And then all of a sudden, one child after another was recovering. And so I contacted the Autism Research Institute because I know Dr. Rimland before he passed away, and he was always looking for the cure, and he would have loved, absolutely loved this. And so I contacted the director there now, and he was like, oh, Carrie, you know, if there's no double-blind side-by-side, we're not interested. And my heart sank. I thought, gosh, aren't we all looking for the cure for autism? But like you said, apparently not everybody really cares about our kids.
It's not patentable. It's cheap. I mean, it's got all the wrong things with respect to pharma, right? Exactly. And it's so, so tragic.
And when I'm excited.
I was excited you found something that actually helps, you know? It's so exciting.
I wish everybody was as excited as we are about it. And then, of course, is the other side of the coin. Not only do you have these, like, NBC talking head types, but you also have this kind of, like, neurodiversity types that, you know, they're like, oh, we're autistic and we're proud. That's not the same kids who are 22 years old in diapers, smearing feces, beating their heads against walls, screaming, crying all night. Not the same group. You know,
I know. And to say that that's just an alternative way to be human is just asinine. It's so ridiculous. It's strange how we just try to normalize these strange behaviors because we don't want to face the truth. And pharma is just being protected by the government. And it really, it's going to take our country down. If the way we're going, we're going to end up with so many disabled children, or people are going to decide not to have kids. You know, the population is going to implode. That's what I predict.
Well, you also were the one that said by 2032, according to your statistics, one in two children will have autism.
So we'll end up with a diagnosis. Yeah, one in two children born in 2032 will eventually end up with a diagnosis. I have to be a little careful about how I say that.
So right, it's not, no, you're right.
A little bit more techie than that. But still,
it's around the corner. It's around the corner. We're 12 years away from this.
I know. And you see how many parents are struggling today. I mean, not just with the autism, but just all the different conditions the kids are suffering from. And I think we really have to, ban glyphosate worldwide, and then we have to figure out how to get rid of it. And one of those solutions is going to be chlorine dioxide. And I'm really, really happy to know that it's often used in water treatment facilities because it does break down glyphosate. And I suspect this is helping to protect us from glyphosate, a huge factor in protecting us from glyphosate contamination in our water supply. And so, you know, I think that is really important. Chlorine dioxide is really, there's only three things that I know of that can break down glyphosate non-enzymatically. Chlorine itself, which is very dangerous and toxic, chlorine dioxide and ozone. And of those three, chlorine dioxide is by far the safest.
Well, the quote that came out of the document that you sent me from 2005, February, March, foodsafetymagazine.com, quote unquote, unlike bleach, which makes trihalomethanes, chlorine dioxide donates oxygen, breaking down into water, oxygen, and table salt, quote unquote.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what you got left over. And people say, oh, what happens? Or what are the side effects? I mean, there's nothing left over. It's done.
Yeah. And that's why they like it so much, too, in the food processing industry. They use it to keep their machinery clean and safe from bacterial invasion. And they use it because it breaks down into nothing that's toxic. It's beautiful that way. You know, and it and oxygen, who can argue about oxygen and chloride? Those are both absolutely essential for the body's functions. So it's a great molecule.
Thank you, Dr. Seneff. You made me really happy because I'm so tired of listening to lies. It's like finally somebody who speaks the truth with the chemical background and the science that you have. I appreciate that so much. And hopefully we can reach more children. And that's, you know, that's the goal of the day. It's, you know, you and I, we have roofs over our head. We have food on the table every day, thank God. But at the end of the day, it's about the children, and we're losing future generations. And it's all about lies and propaganda.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a tragedy unfolding, and it needs to be reversed. And you're part of the solution. I really appreciate what you're doing. Thank you.
We are. Thank you, Dr. Seneff, for being with me and being a little inspiration in my life. Thank you so much, Dr. Seneff. All right. Have a nice day. And if you need any help, my name is Carrie Rivera, and I have a really great website called realcarrierivera.com. We have videos now. Actually, yesterday, Dr. Senef, I taped a video. A 23-year-old man recovered from autism, and he had the PANDAS, which is that stress-aggressive piece. And the mom doesn't speak much English, and he doesn't speak any English, but they were there. And that's it was awesome. Just nice sharing the story. So even 23.
And how many kids do you, I know you keep track, how many do you have now that have been reversed? It's over 550.
About 554 now. We've had the last 7 or 8 weeks that I've been under attack from everything from Yahoo and, you know, YouTube, et cetera, there's been about 8 recoveries.
That's
so
awesome.
It's definitely inspirational to say, okay, this is, you know, for sure there has to be a break. Our kids need the answers. And again, thank you, Dr. Senef, for sharing
thank
that
you.
With us and inspirational. Thank you.
Thank you.